You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Throughout the course of the evening tonight, we will talk to Jason Fitzgerald, who comes from OverTheCap.com, who explains some different aspects of the Jets, Jamal Adams, and Sam Darnold that maybe we are not necessarily thinking about. We will have that in just a little while. We will also, of course, later tonight have everybody's favorite, Beat the Fat Man, where you get your chance to take a shot at me if you think you know your television trivia. And Hank Azaria is going to check in later tonight. Of course, Brockmeyer himself, Hank, going to pop on later on for a few minutes. Well, I have to be honest, there is a good part of me that feels silly hosting a sports talk show tonight, given the events of these last days. Now, look, I am not the sharpest tool in the shed, and speaking about issues has never been something that I have been comfortable doing. You know, you sit here in this chair and you're afraid that you're going to offend some of your audience. You're afraid to not articulate your point well enough to have it taken the wrong way and, frankly, say the wrong thing. You're afraid that somebody hears you tell somebody something else that you said, but they didn't actually hear it themselves, and it turns ugly from there. You guys know this about me, I think, by now. I am not somebody that takes himself too seriously. And I have always felt that people don't come to me to hear my political opinion. My job is to have strong opinions about sports to hopefully keep you entertained and hopefully get you a few chuckles along the way. That's the way that I have always seen it. I don't want to share my political beliefs because my guess is you don't care. But yet, these last days have found us in this position of ugliness once again. And it's hard to get around it. We talked about the engagement of athletes, specifically LeBron James the other night, when it comes to social justice causes. With the platform he has, being so impressed with the fact that he is unafraid to speak about them. And I have always considered myself to be somebody that pays attention, that knows what's going on, and that, you know, I think I have the right belief system that works for me. And that belief system has always been one of equality among people and, you know, treating people as well as you can and trying to live by the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have done to you. Over the last couple of years, Bart Scott and I became friends, obviously working extensively together since the beginning of 2018. And he is somebody that I could not have been more wrong about in my previous perception of him when he was a player, because he's truly one of the best people that I know. And he is somebody that just gets it. And when I say that, I mean, you know, he's kind of in that same boat. He likes to have fun. He likes to, you know, be himself. He likes to show his personality. But Bart also is unafraid to speak his mind along of what we were talking about with LeBron. And earlier today on Bart and Han, I was listening and they were talking about the situation in Minneapolis. And as I said, I have always felt like I understand the social plight in our country. I listened to Bart, and these 4 minutes really affected me in a very deep way, and I want you to hear it.
I don't think that there is a vaccine for racism. but it's a therapeutic. And the therapeutic is exposure, acceptance, empathy. You know, empathy is putting yourself in somebody else's place and trying to understand from their point of view. And too often we try and understand the black experience from our standpoint, but we don't go around to the black perspective and look at it from that perspective, right? Remember the outrage it was about Colin Kaepernick, right? The only reason Colin Kaepernick took a knee during the national anthem because he knew it would get the attention of people that hold the flag at a higher standard than that he does. And you have to understand that when Colin Kaepernick and sometimes when black athletes are listening to the national anthem, Tommy Smith?
Yes.
You know, I'm looking at the poster. I have a poster autographed from him right
from
here.
The Olympics, when they put 1968.
When they put the glove up. Yes. It's because when I hear those
Juan
words,
Carlos
right?
And Tommy Smith, right?
Right. When I'm listening to those words, I hear from a different perspective. Because when you hear the words liberty and justice for all, I hear it differently. Because I don't get all the liberty. I don't get justice. Now, you know why black people don't really give a damn why this officer is getting arrested? Because it's not complete until we get convicted. Because we saw Eric Garner 5 years ago. The same instance. We had the same argument. It should not be a death sentence to sell loose cigarettes. It should not be a death sentence in this country because of forgery. And you wonder what we're talking about. We watched a young man, I forget his name, kill 9 members of a church congregation. The kid was taken into custody without a scratch. And then you wonder why black people say, you know what, those laws don't pertain to me. So when I hear liberty and justice, I don't get liberty and justice. So now I want to take a knee to scream out to you, help. Because black people are in the power to change white people's perspective. White people are in the position to change the perspective, to take that therapeutic, to have these tough conversations. It's too late sometimes for some of your grandparents. It's too late sometimes for your friends. It's not too late for your children. And your children's children. But it takes exposure. It takes you stepping out of your comfort zone and putting your kids around and in programs that include all races. Now, I'm not just talking about black people. I'm talking about people of color or people that don't look like you. People that don't believe the same things that you believe. Whether it's a Jehovah's Witness, whether it's Muslims. So like when you have people screaming out and you guys didn't pay attention to us when we decided to take a knee. You know what? So we burnt down the store. We took away your ability to get a profit in the black communities where we spend all this money. And it's cool to take our money, but you don't reinvest that money in the community for programs for kids to get job training, for them to get equal education. So now, you know what? They say, you know what? Y'all don't want to listen to us? And y'all don't want us to take a knee? Because when you guys come on Sunday and you watch us entertain you like we're a show monkey or like we Shamu the whale, like when you go to SeaWorld and you want to see the whale jump up and oh, clap for the whale, right? But you don't care about that whale. He just gave you a distraction for a while. Guess what? When I was in MetLife Stadium, when I was at M&T Bank Stadium, I was a star, celebrity. I had power. When I got in my car and drove home, I was just another N-word. Getting pulled over all the time. When I moved to New Jersey, I couldn't make it home without getting pulled over 3 or 4 times.
Just because of the car you were driving, right?
Because of the type of the car I was driving mm-hmm. and the neighborhood I was in.
I have to tell you, it was like a bat to my head when I heard Bart talk like that. You know, when you hear your friends and your loved ones talk about issues that you've heard about, that you thought you understood before, and they have affected them directly, for me, I become affected. Let's call this what it is, okay? Until we, and by we, I mean white Americans, make this a priority. Those of us who have been unaffected by racism, make this a priority. nothing will change. I've talked to Good Game before, but when I say that I'm not smart enough to talk about it, as I mentioned before, you know what? It's not true. The truth is, I just haven't been engaged enough. We have not been engaged enough. And that few minutes from Bart made me realize, you know, maybe I thought I knew what I was talking about, but boy, I really didn't. I mean, why haven't I been engaged enough? Well, I'm one of the unaffected. I grew up in a white upper middle class town with a good deal of white privilege. It has never directly affected me. I mean, indirectly, I guess. You know, you see these terrible, terrible tragedies that occur, and you have those thoughts of what are we doing? But I'm embarrassed to say that I don't know that I really understood it or really had the full grasp of it until I heard that, until this week, until we've seen this continue to happen again and again, and nothing changes. I thought that I did. I thought I've always handled myself the right way or tried to. Black people, minorities, they have done everything they can to show us the injustice and the pain. And we listen, we see, we hear, but it hasn't resonated enough to affect change. We have to be engaged. You know, even as I say it, it's funny. I wonder how you're hearing this, but this is what I'm feeling. This is me right now. This is honestly what I'm thinking about. And I am sharing it because it just feels, in some ways, as a complex of an issue as it is, it really isn't. It's simple. When we become more engaged, when it becomes a priority for us, that's when things start to move in the right direction. There's not going to be any movement towards social equality until we make it a priority. We have to make our actions speak, because this is not about politics. This is about human rights, basic human rights, and how we treat each other as people. And until, as Bart said, we decide that it's enough, this is going to continue to happen. And it can't. It just can't. Just what I'm feeling today. And I'll tell you what, I'm so proud to know that guy. And I'm so happy that I was wrong about who he was as a player. I just thought he was just a guy that was full of himself. And man, I couldn't have been more wrong. Really, not just all of that, the images of the week, everything. This is why it's somewhat embarrassing, but I don't know if there was a light switch that went on or whatever, but as much as I thought I understood what was going on, maybe I didn't. Maybe I didn't. I hope I do now. I hope we do now. I hope we do more to be engaged. I can only speak for myself, and I can say whatever I want, but our actions will do the speaking. 800-919-3776. We will have some fun through the course of the evening, but if you want to get into this, let's go. Let's do it now. We'll talk some Jets later on. We're going to get into Beat the Fat Man later on. We'll have a few laughs with Hank Azaria later on, but I just wanted to share that because when you really consider what's going on in this country and what continues to happen in the division, it's mind-blowing.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Now, Mo is in South Brunswick. He's next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Mo, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Carlin?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. I just wanted to get my perspective. I'm a first-generation American, immigrant parents, came to this country at 6 months old. Love this country. This is my country. And I don't know anything as a black man of what they go through, but I can just offer on what my end. When I always hear when 9/11 happened, we were such a unified country, and we were. But it wasn't like that for everybody. You know, We were in that pain also, but a day later, I remember I was in fourth grade. I had a lunch lady that literally gave me a look of disgust. And she said to another lunch lady, you know, another Muslim. And I'll never forget that. And my only point in trying to say something like that is just, you know, even when we think about the times when we were all united, you know, and we were all in it together, were we really all in it together? You know? And, you know, I think about those type of things when people say we got to come together, we got to do, and we do. Don't get me wrong. My, you know, the godfather to my daughter is black, and I think about it. You know, could this have been him? And you know, it's just a sad day, man. It really is. It's just I'm trying to get my mind off of it. I'm trying to think about sports, but it's not. And I'm, you know, but I appreciate you taking.
Unfortunately, we don't have any sports to get it off our minds.
Well, that's true also, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, look, I get where you're coming from, and, Mo, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. There are a lot of people that feel that way, that feel the way that you do, and I understand that completely. I obviously haven't experienced it, as I said earlier, never been directly affected by it, but that doesn't give an excuse for not being engaged enough on it. And I feel like after I listen to Bart speak, after I hear somebody speak so personally about an issue like that, it, for whatever reason, maybe it just registered a little bit more because it was on a personal level, and that's unfortunate, because all you have to do is look across the TV, and I sit there and I think I'm having all the right feelings about what's going on. I'm sickened by what I see. I'm incredibly sad. I have plenty of police officer friends who I know are good people who are hurting with this too. But it's at some point we have to pay attention to the injustice and the pain that's being inflicted. At some point, we have to get a clue about this. When is that going to happen? We have to be more engaged. And when I say we, I mean as a white male American, we. I certainly have never had to experience anything like it directly. And I can't even imagine what that's like to worry about every time you see a police car. And that's incredibly unfortunate. Eric in Queens. Eric, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you?
Could be better. I'm sad to say, it's so sad what we have to have, what we have to experience with the race today. I just don't, you know, we don't know when it will never end. You want it to end, but like they say, races will never end. This is sad that you could be in a situation like this. Just imagine, Chris, when me as a black person, my family sees stuff going like this. Picture me now bringing a white person, I'm dating a white person, I bring that person home. How am my family going to look at that person? And then you're going to look at them the wrong way because they're not bad. It's just because the way the race is, these are the things we're going to pick up in life. You know, it's just sad. And it's not something that we should witness. We all should come together and be in peace. But when we have people out here like this, where is the peace? It just never ends.
I agree. But I don't think it ends, unfortunately, or moves toward at least moves in the right direction until white people start to make it a priority, until those who have been unaffected start to make that a priority to change, start to realize the pain that has been inflicted.
And you make it bad for the good white people because they're not like that. But this is how the other black people are going to look at them because of something like this happened. And all the black white people are not bad like this.
I know that that's true, and I appreciate the call, Eric. It's just think about the even the sentence that you have to say in that instance. Just think about the ridiculousness of having to say it, yet you're there to say it. I totally get it. I'm even uncomfortable saying I totally understand where you're coming from because I haven't experienced it. All we can do is let our own actions speak, and our actions have to mean something.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
15-4. Joel, we did not play earlier this week. Last time we played was last Thursday. Is that correct?
That is correct. You played with Nikki last, I believe.
Right. She did an outstanding job filling in, I thought. Did not have a strong performance again, and yet still went 2-0. And I find that really bothersome for myself. I'm a guy that gets obsessed with the process of getting better, and I have not gotten better at that. And so, and frankly, like after it, I did a little soul searching, like maybe I gotta, go back and watch some things and, remember some things, and I haven't done it. So, I mean, I might be ripe for the picking right now. I really could be. Your opportunity comes up later tonight at 9 p.m. to beat the fat man. We'll see if you can do it. 800-919-3776. Joe, Colonia, New Jersey, the home of Eric LeGrand. Joe, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I need to apologize to you. A couple of weeks ago, I called you back and I cursed on the air and I was taken off right away, which...
But didn't you do it by accident? So.
Yeah, I did do it on accident.
I think I remember that. That's okay.
Yeah,
I
said something, you said, what's that mean? And I told you. But you know what? I've been following you for years. But this is what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
The owners in baseball and the players in baseball always talk about how it's about the fans. And the players, they can make whatever they want to make. I don't hold nothing against them. But don't you think they need to get something done? Because I don't think we're going to have a baseball season.
I'll tell you what, Joe. I am more pessimistic now than
right.
I was last week. And we talked to Jeff Passan yesterday. We talked to Tim Kurchin yesterday. I think that everything that has happened has made me feel worse about it. And I blame both sides equally. I would say 70-30 owners, but I blame both sides.
All this should have been kept quiet. They should have worked out something, because if you say it's about the fans, it's really not about the fans. And baseball is going to lose out on big time. But let's face it, it's football, basketball, and baseball. And basketball is coming back. Football will be back. And baseball is going to be left out. And, baseball's trying to keep the fans, and they're losing them as they're trying to keep them.
You know, as diabolical as this sounds, Joe, like there's part of me that believes that the owners that don't want to play a season, there are some that don't because they
I agree.
As much as that's the case, and thanks for the call, I think they almost feel like if all these sports are coming back at the same time, it might kind of get whitewashed that baseball doesn't have a season. And that come next spring, it'll be like nothing happened. Everybody will be back. No problem. Look, we know the fans will come back. I told you last night, we ran that poll that we ran about a month ago. About a month ago, 85% said if there was no season this year, you would come back next year. Last night, ran the same poll. Number dipped a little bit to 72%. But it's still something that they count on. They count on the fact that you're not going anywhere. Mark in Verona, next, 98.7 ESPN. Mark.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I would love to talk about sports, but unfortunately, with the unfortunate incident that happened with the police officer and the unarmed person that was killed, I feel awful for the person, being a retired law enforcement. And also be on the other end of it, where I lost my father in a very tragic incident many years ago when I was younger by an African-American gentleman. And although that an African-American gentleman killed my father, I don't hold it against everyone else. And I really don't feel that one bad officer should be held to the same standard as everyone else. Again, I would love to.
Well, but the problem, and listen, I'm not taking this out on police officers, okay? Because we know that 99% of them are obviously well-intended and do the right thing and all of that. What I would say about it, though, is how many times have we seen this happen with police officers specifically over the last several years that have led to this? That's why we are where we are right now, and that's why the feelings are where they are.
Chris, I do understand, and again, anytime anyone of any color loses their life unjustly, it's a tragedy, and families hurt for this. At the same time, it doesn't give people the right to destroy other people's property and to do things unjust like that, taking other people's jobs away from them, burning down other things. Again, I wish I could talk about sports, and I really appreciate it. It's the first time I ever called a sports or any other type of program. I appreciate you letting me voice my opinion, and thank you so much.
All right, Mark, thank you. And in no way do I condone what happens with the looting and all of that stuff. Part of it, to me, just, you know, as I listen to Bart and I listen to Jalen Rose, is, you know, part of it to me just comes across as, what is it going to take to get somebody's attention? You know, and not that is in no way a justification of it. Daryl in Montville is next, 98.7. Daryl, what's up?
Hey, Carlin, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Healthy.
Excellent.
All right. So, but my thing is that when you played that clip from Bart Scott, and I'm a huge Jets fan, love Bart Scott, so I have this jersey hanging in my closet. Like, it does hit home. Like, I mean, I am what you would say, like, all right, I'm white, right? But so my point is us as a country should change the vernacular. Like, why am I a white guy and there's a black guy? I'm a father. I have three kids. My kids don't know color. They say, oh, yeah, my friend with the tan face, right? That's what them saying it, not me. And like, okay, it's not a big deal. Why is it a black guy? Why is it a white guy? Until we change the vernacular, it's never going to happen.
But the problem, for me, the problem with that is that the color of our skin has always been what's divided us. And you're right. I hope that we can get to the place.
Why now? Why does it matter? Like, if I'm a man,
Daryl, it matters because that's what's happening to a particular sect of our society. And thanks for the call. That's why it matters, because one race in our society is being treated much differently than the other race. Very unjustly in these incidents. That's why it matters. Now, you want to get to a utopia, and so do I. I want to get to that place where it's just people. That's what we all dream of, right? That's what we'd like to happen. But we have to take steps to get there, and now you have to start to look at it and realize the people that can change it are the ones that are not getting treated poorly, are the ones that are not having to go through this. Because who's the majority? White people. There's a reason they call them minority. There's a lot less of them, but they're being treated incredibly poorly. Incredibly poorly when this stuff happens. I mean, not even that. It's across the board. And when we see this kind of thing happen so often, and you see what happened, and you watched that video the other day, and it's 10 minutes. And I know that we had a caller earlier talk about the adrenaline. I didn't see adrenaline in that police officer, Officer Chopkin. I saw a guy needlessly holding somebody's neck down with his knee when he was already on the ground, already in cuffs. Needlessly. Jay in Harlem. Jay, what's up?
Hey, good evening, Chris. God bless. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, man. Thanks for checking in.
First and foremost, I want to send out my blessings and praise to you and your family and everybody at ESPN. I want to commend y'all for addressing the issue, because I listen from 6 o'clock in the morning all the way up to 12 o'clock. And I know that's not your platform. It's a sports talk thing, but I commend y'all for addressing the issue, because that's the main problem. People don't want to, you know what I'm saying, address the issue. Mm. And there was a lot of callers that was from all of the talk shows from 6 o'clock this morning till now that I was hearing that was trying to, like, justify and put a spin on it, saying, but what if? And it's not about but what if. It's about what's
going
on.
And it's not about the what about either. That drives me nuts. It's not about the what about.
Yeah, and that's what they were saying earlier. And like I said, it's not about that. It's about what's going on in front of you. You know what I'm saying? And the only way, like I said, something can happen is just like you just said. It's not like we're trying to throw everything on white America's shoulders, but unless they start having a voice and speaking out, you know what I'm saying, with sincerity, you know what I'm saying, it's going to continue to keep going on. We're not trying to single out nobody, you know what I'm saying, but it's happening to us. We're affected by it. Like I said, they're not affected by it because they haven't experienced that. They haven't went through that.
I hate to put it this simply, but I mean, how would white America feel if the roles were reversed?
Exactly.
That's just, it's unfortunate. I hate that word. It's appalling. It's appalling that this happens, G, and thanks for the call. It's appalling. And at some point, we have to be able to look at ourselves in the mirror and start to affect change. It's complex, but it's really not. And I am no sociologist.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Take your opportunity. You would dial the phone right now at 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. For the first time, Joel Pollack, our host, we might have an opportunity to give somebody a second chance. What's your thoughts about that?
I think we've gone through enough rounds where I think we can do that, where somebody who might have gotten beaten or beaten you might, you know, you might want redemption, they might want redemption. I think it's time we can start bringing that up.
Hmm. And by the way, Joel, good to have you back.
To be back. I know Nikki did a great job. Like she
did. She filled in quite nicely.
But it's good to be back. But it's good to be back. This feels like this is our thing.
Listen, that's between you and Nikki. But I do feel like she did an outstanding job. But in the meantime, it is good to have you back. And it's good to have Gary in Brooklyn back. Hi, Gary.
Hey. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Gary. How are you?
I'm good. Just doing my deliveries and, you know, have no problem challenging you with a rematch and getting to call you a loser if you... That's it.
Now, if memory serves, did you beat me or did I beat you last time?
No, you beat me. We went into an OT and they gave you a little easy little whistle blow.
The fix was in is what you're saying.
I didn't say the fix was in, but you called me a loser. You're like, what you do is great and all that, but you called me a loser.
Did I call you a loser because you lost?
Yeah, and the people are too nice to you. Like that beat, like people that like, you know, like that have beaten you have not called you a loser and they need to.
But Gary, did I call you a loser because you lost?
Yeah.
Well, that would make you a loser, wouldn't it?
I guess, you know, I agreed with it very wholeheartedly, and I think I need to stop doing things like that.
So you have come back with a great deal of confidence in your step here.
A little different than confidence. It's just like, I got this, like,
okay.
Or whatever, like, not really nervous. Just, it is what it is. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see if we can, get you a chance to do it here. Hit the music.
Oh, They're calling again.
Is your brain rotting with useless TV knowledge? Do you want to put your quarantine brain to goodish use? It's time to play Beat the Fat Man.
Our telephone number is 800-919-3776. We'll see if after Gary we're going to go to a second round or not. I don't know. I haven't made up my mind yet. Joe Pollack is back, as we've heard from him in the last few moments. And Joe, explain the rules.
Well, I know Gary's played before, but here, we'll give it to you anyway.
It's again. For the audience. It's for everybody. It's not just for right. Gary.
Okay, so I'm going to present each of you with three questions, one each from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s television. And you're going to get 10 seconds to answer each question. Whoever answers the most questions right is our winner. Now, if the score is tied after three rounds, we're going to overtime, where the first one to win a round is going to be declared our winner. Now, our contestant's going to get the question first. During that time, Chris, you're going into isolation until our contestant completes the round. This way, nobody can hear the question or the answer except for me and Gary.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, got it.
Gary, I might be right for the pick, and I have not performed well. I've still won. I'm that good. But I might be ripe for the pick in here. You might have gotten me at the right time. Let's find out, shall we?
Here we go. Yeah. To the isolation booth you go, Chris.
Goodbye.
All right, Gary, you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready. Go
80s
ahead,
television.
It.
On the TV show Elf, the alien was said to have hailed from what planet before his ship crashed into the Tanner's garage?
Come on, man. Melmac, baby.
That is correct.
Boom! You got it, my man, Haynes.
Thank you, sir.
That's right. Here we go. Let's bring Chris in. Welcome back, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
On the 80s TV show Elf, the alien was said to have hailed from what planet before his ship crashed into the Tanner's garage?
That would be the planet Melmac.
Gary got it right also.
Ah!
1-1.
Well done, Gary.
He was very proud of himself.
Did it take you time, or was it a quick?
No, he was right on it, spot on,
right
as quick as you.
Okay.
So I think he's ready to go. I think we got a good one here.
Well, we'll find out.
We will find out. Back to the booth you go. All right, Gary, 90s. What was the name of the hotel that Jamie Foxx worked at on the Jamie Foxx show?
Oh, my God. I would say something bad. Sanford and Son Hotel.
Is that
That's
your...
horrible. Yeah, it is.
Sorry, my man. That is not correct. Let's bring Chris back in. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
All right, 90s television. What was the name of the hotel that Jamie Foxx worked at in the Jamie Foxx show?
Oh. I have not seen one episode of the Jamie Foxx show. The hotel...
All right.
Melmac.
You weren't much further off than Gary, who was also had no idea. The answer is the King's Tower.
The King's Tower.
The King's Tower.
I did not watch one episode of the Jamie Foxx show. His television career was done for me after In Living Color.
Fair enough.
Anyway, but okay. I love him in the movies.
Oh, no,
anyway.
Great. Great actor. And the Jamie Foxx show was fantastic. All right, let's get you back to the booth and go to round 3, 1-1.
Okay.
All right, Gary, here we go. From 2000 television, what was Sawyer's real name in the well-known TV series Lost?
I think he watched Lost. I did not watch Lost. So Tom Sawyer. God damn.
I mean, that's a guess if there was one for somebody who didn't watch the show.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, let's bring Chris back in. Let's,
Lost.
Oh, come on. You're giving him a little heads up there.
Hear it anyway.
Good. Okay, from 2000s, what was Sawyer's real name in the well-known TV series Lost?
Sawyer's real name in the TV series Lost.
TikTok.
Was that?
I need an answer.
Eli?
Nice.
The answer was James Ford.
James Ford.
Means we're going overtime because Gary didn't get it right either.
I didn't watch much of Lost either.
Oh, well, Gary was sitting there thinking, oh, man, Chris definitely watched Lost.
I did not. I absolutely did not.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Now, I had a Lost question last week that I got wrong, too.
I thought you got it right. I don't know why, but okay. All right.
All right. We're going to overtime. To the booth you go.
Yeah.
Give me a Soprano question, man.
Well, now you
Come
know
on.
I can't. In the 2000s hit series The Office, which character plays a fictionalized version of himself and goes by his real-life full name?
Okay. Oh, my God. I mean, Will Ferrell?
No, I'm sorry. That's not right. The answer is Creed Bratton. He's actually plays himself a fictionalized version. But let's see if Chris knows the answer. Hi, Chris.
Wow.
Here we go.
That's a good question.
In the 2000s hit series The Office, which character plays a fictionalized version of himself and goes by his real-life full name?
Oh, Creed Bratton.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Did you get it wrong, Gary?
He got it wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
I said Will Ferrell.
No.
Yeah.
A loser.
Nice. I like it. I'll take
Gary,
it.
Valiant effort.
Thank you.
An effort, anyway.
Thank you.
But you lost again, and that happens. Yeah.
Your record's getting good. Your record's getting better, man.
16-4, Gary. And you are two of those 16.
Yeah, it's true.
Talk to you in a couple months, pal.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Gary, be safe.
I'm surprised that there weren't more insults hurled.
On my part toward him?
Just in general. I kind of felt like there should have been a little venom there. Just you know, you guys were going up against each other for the second time, and it was way too cordial.
Yeah, well, at the beginning it was, and he was starting to get a little chirpy.
Yeah.
And then I just, you know, let me lay low. Let me lay low here. You know what? I think one is enough for tonight. That's what I think. Agreed?
I think so. I think that was well done. I think we took down somebody who had their second round. Let's go out there.
All right.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
You've spent time tonight regarding the protests and everything that's gone on and everything that has transpired over the last week. I want to read you the statement from Brian Flores, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. It's a lengthy one, but an impressive one nonetheless. Starts here. Quote, I've had the privilege of being a part of many different circles that have included some very powerful and influential people of all different races and genders. The events of the last few weeks have brought some of the memories of those conversations back to light. I vividly remember the Colin Kaepernick conversations. Don't ever disrespect the flag was the phrase that I heard over and over again. This idea that players were kneeling in support of social justice was something that people couldn't wrap their head around. The outrage that I saw in the media and the anger I felt in some of my own private conversations caused me to sever a few long-standing friendships. Most recently, I've had conversations about incentivizing teams for hiring minorities. Again, there was some outrage in the media and talks that this would cause division amongst coaches, executives, and ownership. I bring these situations up because I haven't seen the same outrage from people of influence when the conversation turns to Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and most recently, George Floyd. Many people who broadcast their opinions on kneeling or on the hiring of minorities don't seem to have an opinion on the recent murders of these young black men and women. I think many of them quietly say that watching George Floyd plead for help is one of the more horrible things that they have seen, but it's said amongst themselves where no one can hear. Broadcasting that opinion clearly is not important enough. I lead a group of young men who have the potential to make a real impact in this world. My message to them and anyone who wants to listen is that honesty, transparency, and empathy go a long way to bringing people together and making change. I hope that the tragedies of the last few weeks will open our hearts and minds to a better way of communicating and hopefully create that change. That's Brian Flores, the Miami Dolphins head coach, with just a poignant statement right there that is outstanding, to say the least. And I think he sums up the way a lot of people are feeling right now. And, you know, we've spent so much time on it this evening. It's when I heard the words of Bart earlier today describing his experiences of, you know, being a superstar football player, a guy that had all this power, had fame, had fortune. But when he drove away from the stadium, he just felt like another African-American who's getting pulled over too often for being African-American. And, you know, for me, I want to believe that I'm somebody that's always kind of understood the racial divide and everything that's gone on. But, you know, it's just one of those cases where until you're really directly affected, sometimes it doesn't sink in. As much as we see, as much as we say that's awful, as much as we talk about things, impacting change is not an easy thing to do. But when you think about it, it really is. Because there's one thing that comes out of this every time that we go through it. And I can't believe that we say every time that we go through it, as we just continue to go through it. The ones who are unaffected by this are going to be the ones to affect change. And look, I grew up in a white upper middle class town with a good deal of white privilege. And when you hear your friends and your loved ones talk about how it has so poignantly affected them and permanently affected them, unfortunately, times like that, it even drives it home a little bit more. And I'm almost embarrassed to say that I don't know that I really understood until this week, because black people and minorities have done everything they can to show us the injustice and the pain that they feel. And we listen, we hear, and we see it, but it hasn't resonated enough to affect any change. And it's simple. As much as people say it's a complex issue, to me, it's not. The white people, white America, has to be engaged on this issue. It's simple, because that's the only way there's going to be any movement towards social equality. When you have the people in the majority, make it a priority. It's not about politics. It's about human rights. That's it. Andrew and Stanhope is next, 98.7. Andrew, what's up?
You're right, and I hope nobody misunderstands you when you're saying that the whites have to be involved. I think, you know, what you mean is that the
majority, collectively, and I'm saying we, you know, I almost feel like I'm never going to understand what it's like to live as an African American and the issues that they deal with every single day. But the empathy, the engagement has to be there on our part, because when it boils down to it, we are all people.
Just like with the civil rights in the 1960s, it's not that the whites have to do it. It's that they're the majority, we're the majority. So we're needed to make the movement be powerful by the numbers. It's, you know, it's numbers. It's not that we're better or special. It's that you need the numbers, the majority, to step in. And I just want to say, like, too quick, like, when you were the other night saying bad about Rush Limbaugh, I was happy because I listened to him and he was appalled. And he actually, this is true, he actually said,
what did I say about Rush? I don't even remember.
Well, you were saying, like, what isms, like that show, you know, if you want, what isms. But he
what about ism?
Not only, Yeah, whataboutism.
Whataboutism.
He actually said after he watched the video, that's why we have the death penalty, to put killers like that. And he was calling them murderers and killers, the cops, and everybody was agreeing. But I just want to say it's not a whataboutism. When I talk about the kids, you know, the young guys from Chicago, that I always get disappointed in Newark, where I'm from, that those killings, even though your call screener, who's a brilliant young guy, was saying that, well, it's different when a criminal kills a criminal, and he's totally right. But when a kid's 16 or 19 or 14, you know, their lives matter. And in God's eyes, and I'm saying that, I'm not even religious, but in God's and their mother, when they die, the mother is just as grief-stricken had they been shot by a white racist or a cop or a black. So their lives, to me, it's tragic, even though they may be affiliated with the gang. They may have just been sucked in like a 14-year-old kid. So they deserve
it. I understand, but the issues here are much, much, much different, and I appreciate the call. The issues are much, much different. Obviously, none of that's any good. It's all awful, but they are completely separate issues.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.